This is Nefertari with a Nefcast on the AboveTopSecret.com member podcast network. Today's podcast is about the Smithsonian suppressing finds that go against orthodox isolationist views. On April 5th of 1909, the Arizona Gazette published an article detailing the discovery of a great underground citadel located in the Grand Canyon. The discovery was purportedly made by G.E. Kincaid while he was traveling down the Colorado River. Kincaid describes finding mummies as well as a shrine containing the idol or image of the people's god, sitting cross-legged with a lotus flower or lily in each hand. The cast of the face is oriental, and the carving shows a skillful hand. The entire piece is remarkably well preserved, as is everything in this cavern. The idol most resembles Buddha. Kincaid also finds what he believes to be hieroglyphic writing, similar to that found in the peninsula of the Yucatan. Two animals are depicted in the pictorial writing. Curiously, one is of prehistoric origin. An idea of the scale of the discovery can be determined by Kincaid's estimate that upwards of 50,000 people could have once lived in this system of tunnels and caves. The article begins, "The latest news of the progress of the explorations of what is now regarded by scientists as not only the oldest archaeological discovery in the United States, but one of the most valuable in the whole world," which was mentioned some time ago in the Gazette. Indeed, there was a previous story printed in the Gazette about the explorations of G.E. Kincaid. On March 12, 1909, a short, mundane description of Kincaid's journey is given. Only the last sentence, which reads, "Some interesting archaeological discoveries were unearthed," gives any indication of the fantastic discoveries that were made on his trip. It seems, however, unlikely that such a short, straightforward article would have been fabricated to set up a fictional story that would not be printed for another 3 weeks. The 1909 article clearly states that the Smithsonian is involved with the studying and excavating of the site. However, the Smithsonian denies that any such discovery ever occurred. This brings up the larger question that if this was a true story, why would the Smithsonian have covered up what would certainly be one of the most significant archaeological finds of the 20th century? Believe it or not, there is a precedence for the Smithsonian losing information about discoveries that are deemed to not fit in with currently accepted dogma about the history of America and its interaction or lack thereof with other ancient civilizations. In his book Lost Cities of the North and Central Americas, David Hatcher Childress also covers the 1909 Arizona Gazette article and relates three instances where the Smithsonian has lost or covered up finds that go against orthodox isolationist views. In the first instance, a story is related from the winter 1992 issue of the Stonewatch newsletter that describes stone coffins being discovered in 1892 in Alabama, and then sent to the Smithsonian and subsequently lost. The coffins were especially curious because Indians in North America never used coffin burials as Europeans did. The newsletter concludes by saying, "This all seems to be another instance of possible pre-Columbian evidence neglected and lost." The second example comes from the research of Ivan T. Sanderson, who received a letter detailing the discovery of giant human remains beneath the site of an airstrip on the Aleutian island of Shemya during World War II. The remains consisted of leg bones and crania, measuring 22 to 24 inches from base to crown. This is astounding when compared to the normal human skull, with measurements of only 8 inches. Sanderson confirmed the report by contacting another member of the unit who was present during the discovery of the remains. Both contacts indicated that the Smithsonian Institute had collected the bones. Yet the Smithsonian has released no data from any such find. The last example that Childress relates is from the 1970s documentary, in which a former Smithsonian security guard describes how he saw relics retrieved from Mount Ararat in Turkey, allegedly from a giant ship. Many people believe that Mount Ararat was the resting place of Noah's Ark, as described in the Bible. The guard goes on to say that an expedition was made to this site in 1969, but the artifacts were suppressed and never released to the public. Further information regarding the Smithsonian's policy in dealing with discovery of artifacts and information that might contradict an isolationist point of view can be found in an article published by Ross Hamilton at greatserpentmound.org. In the article, Ross details many examples of unusually large bones discovered within the burial mounds along the east coast of America. The Smithsonian investigated literally thousands of these mounds and recovered from them bones and artifacts. Unfortunately, the more intriguing contents of the mounds have been lost, within the Smithsonian, keeping them safely out of the hands of researchers who might want to study them using modern techniques. There does appear to be a pattern of the Smithsonian covering up information that might contradict the prevailing view that Columbus discovered America, and that prior to this discovery, the only inhabitants of this land were the Native Americans. Much of the area on the north side of the canyon has Egyptian names. The area around 94 Mile Creek and Trinity Creek had areas, rock formations apparently, with names like Tower of Set, Tower of Ra, Horus Temple, Osiris Temple, and Isis Temple. In the Haunted Canyon area were such names as the Shops Pyramid, the Buddha Cloister, Buddha Temple, Manu Temple, and the Shiva Temple. Now, was there any relationship between these places and the alleged Egyptian discoveries in the Grand Canyon? I really can't say. But a state archaeologist at the Grand Canyon said that the early explorers had just like Egyptian and Hindu names. But that it is true that this area was off limits to hikers and other visitors because of the dangerous caves. Indeed, this entire area with Egyptian and Hindu place names in the Grand Canyon is a forbidden zone. No one is allowed into this large area. We can only conclude that this was the area where the vaults were located. Yet today, this area is curiously off limits to all hikers, and even in large part, park personnel. I believe that the discerning listener will see that if only a small part of the Smithsonian evidence is true, then our most hallowed archaeological institution has been actively involved in suppressing evidence for advanced American cultures, evidence for anomalistic giants and other strange artifacts, and evidence that tends to disprove the official dogma that is now the history of North America. The Smithsonian's Board of Regents still refuses to open its meetings to the news media or the public. If Americans were ever allowed inside the nation's attic, as the Smithsonian has been called, what skeletons might they find? In closing, I would also like to note that this correlates with numerous Hopi legends which claim that the early Hopi people, in some instances they are described as before they were humans, lived below the earth, and that they emerged on the surface in the very place that this cave was found, which of course is the Grand Canyon. Whether or not this is the very place that they emerge remains unknown, because as I stated before, this area is now very much restricted. I don't know that they are ever going to change their minds on that anytime soon. I seriously doubt it. So with that, this is Nefertari signing off, saying goodbye and good evening, everyone. And if anyone has any thoughts on this, please share them. Thank you.